Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President, Business Development at the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest series comes to you from the 2024 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference in Orlando, Florida, where we consumed 4 full days of content from marketing and brand stewards from leading brands. The conference theme was setting the agenda for growth, and we heard a lot about creating unparalleled consumer engagement with help from advanced technology like AI. We heard a lot about creativity and its role in creating brand growth. And we saw a laser focus on what matters most to consumers while never losing sight of humanity as tech continues to expand. REB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees and speakers about their business, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. Arthritis is a chronic disease and the nation's number one cause of disability, affecting nearly 60 million adults and hundreds of thousands of children. The Arthritis Foundation is the nonprofit fully dedicated to leading the fight to conquer arthritis through patient education, government advocacy, and by funding science and research to deliver better treatments. I learned a ton about the Arthritis Foundation and their go-to-market strategies in my conversation with Sabrina Sexton, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Arthritis Foundation, and I am thrilled to share that chat with you today. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, Tammy.
Here we are live at the ANA Masters of Marketing, Radio on Main Street, and thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell us just a little bit about who you are, what you do for the Arthritis Foundation?
Sure. So I'm Sabrina Sexton. I'm the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Arthritis Foundation. And the Arthritis Foundation is the largest nonprofit in the U.S. dedicated to the cause of arthritis. So there are nearly 60 million adults and children living with arthritis in the U.S., and that's something that a lot of people don't know, that
no.
Kids get arthritis too.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not know that. I thought it was probably an older person illness, disease. Is it a disease or is it an illness?
So it's
a
disease. It is
right.
A disease. And
yeah.
it's a chronic illness. And there are over 100 forms of arthritis. That's also something that a lot of people don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, here at the conference just the other evening, I met a gentleman who has gout. And one of his colleagues was surprised to learn that gout is a form of arthritis, for example.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Look at that. You are educating and informing me right now. So I'm assuming that one of your primary objectives and goals is to educate and raise awareness for arthritis and, you know, debunk myths that people assume or misperceptions that people have about the disease. So can you talk a little bit about, am I right on that? Am I wrong on that? A little bit about what your purpose is, what your goal is as a foundation and from a marketing perspective.
Yeah, actually, you're spot on. That is absolutely one of our big objectives and priorities in terms of helping to educate the general public about not just arthritis as a condition, but as an urgent health issue. So there are a lot of impacts that arthritis has, not only on the people living with it, but also on society and our economy. When you think about missed work days and missed productivity and the costs in the healthcare system, there are a lot of reasons why the Arthritis Foundation exists. So some of our primary ways that we serve the arthritis community is that we deliver patient education and support.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes in the form of webinars. We have a podcast. We have a vast amount of resources on arthritis.org. We also deliver in-person and virtual support groups and educational programming. We also do policy advocacy and legislative advocacy, both at the federal and state level, to make healthcare more accessible and more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And we're funding research to try to drive more scientific breakthroughs and deliver better treatments.
So am I right or wrong to say there is no cure for arthritis, but you could treat it?
That's correct. There is, right now, no cure for arthritis,
mm-hmm.
And most forms of arthritis do have some form of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
However, just for example, while rheumatoid arthritis patients do have options, there are still 40% of people living with rheumatoid arthritis who do not have a treatment that works for them today. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons we're trying so hard to drive that research.
So is the disease, when you look at those 60 million patients that suffer with arthritis, kids and adults mm-hmm. alike, is there a majority within there? Is it the older side of the target audience, or is it the younger? I don't like using the word target audience because you're not targeting people to have arthritis, but for those that could potentially have it, is it, and when you're thinking about the education that you're putting out there, How does it divide up of those 60 million people?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we know that people of all ages can be diagnosed with arthritis and are living with arthritis. However, we do in our marketing typically target an age range of 40, 45 to 70, because that's where we find the most prevalence of arthritis. Mm-hmm. There are also certain types of arthritis that have more prevalence. And we also know that there are a lot of people, millions of people, who probably have arthritis but don't know it yet because they haven't been diagnosed yet.
Right, so is that part of your awareness issues, awareness initiatives to, you know, make sure people are aware of what the effects may be,
right,
and to ask your doctor and that kind of stuff. So
that's right. Yeah. Knowing the signs and symptoms, understanding how to have that conversation with your doctor, that's also definitely something that we're focused on as well.
So where do you get your money from? Is it fundraising? Is that part of your purview as well, all of the fundraising that y'all are doing?
Sure. So we do get most of our funding through fundraising, through individuals, companies who choose to support our mission. Within the marketing communications department, so under my area of the organization, we do our direct response fundraising. So that includes direct mail and digital campaigns. And then I have a colleague who leads our field and development team. So that includes things like major gifts, planned giving, right? Yep. So we have a lot of people, very generous donors who decide to leave a gift in their will, right? Yep. So when they pass away, they're able to support our mission as well.
Yeah. So you've been here 2 days?
I've been here since Monday.
Today? Thursday?
So,
right, so 4 days.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you've been here and you've been in and out of a lot of sessions. One of the takeaways that I've had from some of the sessions is that there is so much focus on AI that all of our speakers are overemphasizing the importance of humanity on the flip side of that. And I'm actually writing an article on the same topic right now that's going to publish in December. But humanity is certainly crucial and critical to everything that you are doing. But as you kind of reflect on all the sessions that you've heard, what do you feel like the most important, what are you going to take away with you and take back to the office when you get back to work from everything that you heard? And what might you change moving forward because of it?
Sure, that's a great question. First of all, it's been a really inspiring conference. I've made lots of notes and had lots of ideas and lots of really interesting and compelling conversations with people. I think for me, I think that to touch on the topic of AI, it's something that within my team, we haven't yet really jumped into the deep end on, but I think there's a lot of opportunity to do that. So as a nonprofit, we have limited resources, right? Yeah. We don't necessarily have the budgets of some of our, you know, larger for-profit colleagues that are here. Mm-hmm. And so we often are having to try to do more with less.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of opportunity to start to test some ways, whether it's in our creative processes, you know, even just ideation, as a starting point. So that's something that I'm excited to talk with the team about when I get back.
So you touched a little bit on some of the media that you are using for outreach, from an awareness and an education perspective, and some of the work that you're doing from a fundraising perspective. Radio, as you may or may not know, is deeply ingrained in the communities that the radio stations serve. That's why the article that I have coming up is focused on humanity, because it's what we do. It's part of radio's DNA, if you will. Have you used the medium in any way at any point in time to drive awareness or you know, help supplement the events that you might be attending or, you know, anything? And if not, what can we do as a medium to persuade you to do that?
Well, we have done some radio. Mm-hmm. I will admit that I don't think that we've often considered radio as a key part of our strategy mm-hmm. in terms of a channel.
Yep.
But I will say that we probably should. You know, I think about my own experience as a human living in this world, and my routines often involve getting
Please
in my car and going somewhere and listening to the radio.
Yeah.
So I think there's a big opportunity for us to consider that even more.
Yeah, so there's a research study that you came this close to quoting it.
Oh, really?
Without ever having seen it, probably.
Yeah.
That's focused on American consumers' daily rituals.
Yep.
And audio, not radio specifically, but audio is a part of, I think there are 11 identified daily rituals, and audio is a part of all 11 of them, and in some cases, it is the ritual. So, you know, one of our key initiatives is addressing some of the misperceptions that exist across our medium. So, and it's a website that you can go and visit later. If you got the hat, you could scan the QR code called This Is Radio, because it's that aha moment that people have when we mention things like that. So, great. I'm going to follow up with you on that.
Okay.
So I have two quick questions for you. We have a campaign that we run. You can answer this from both a professional, a cause-related, or your own personal opinion on it. I'm going to say two things to you. Just repeat the words when you answer. Fill in the blank. It's like a Mad Lib. Okay. Radio matters because.
Radio matters because it is inherently a human medium, and it provides a way for humans to connect with other humans.
It's a perfect answer. And radio works because?
Radio works because it is such a part of people's lives.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, great.
Funding for the initiatives that the Arthritis Foundation takes on comes primarily from fundraising activity. Individuals, companies, and other groups that support the cause. They primarily use direct response and digital media and have modestly used radio. Can radio work to drive community giving? We know it can, and so does Sabrina, and we'll look forward to helping to support the Arthritis Foundation efforts wherever we can.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.